The following program has been pre-recorded to air at this time.
To have your nonprofit featured, email psa@lotusradio.com. And now it's time for Lotus Radio's public service show, In Depth.
Good morning and welcome to In Depth. And I'm not sure what I like more, Sheree, that we're going to talk about soup or we're going to help out step two.
I mean, both are fabulous, right?
Sheree Bowler is with step two, and the step two is announcing a brand new event. It is a opportunity to celebrate soup month, but it's also about giving back to step two. And you and I both have had a lot of interaction with step two over the years. This is just such an amazing organization. It truly is near and dear to my heart. The Step 2 organization is really about helping women through recovery. Sheree, tell me more about why Step 2 is so important in our community.
You know, Step 2 is a very one-of-a-kind recovery opportunity for women in the community. It's all about really embracing the women that come to us and getting to the root of why they have a substance use disorder and really helping them figure out the way to really recover from that in a very holistic way.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's not just about their substance use disorder. It's about how we can help them become a better person for our community, how we become a better parent, how they can, you know, change their lives to break that cycle of addiction and violence in their families.
Absolutely. And I think what's so interesting is the name Step 2 really says it all. This is a second chance for you to rebuild your life. And we want these women to be reunited with their children. We want them to be back out in our community, productive individuals. And you talk about that holistic approach that Step 2 uses. This is really key to this. A lot of people don't know, like, you can't drink soda while you're there.
Right.
You can't have caffeine while you're there. And a lot of people think, well, gosh, this is such strict rules. But the idea is really to start clean, to start all over again. And everything that Step 2 provides, it's not just about addiction. It's how do you balance a checkbook?
Yeah.
How do you make sure to manage money so you can pay your rent? Mm-hmm. What is it like to fill out a job application? How are you really taking care of your kids? Are you providing good meals for them?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like relearning all of the things that many of these individuals may not have received in their lives before.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. I mean, we love to keep women on our campus for at least a year, giving them that safe and comfortable space to really figure out who they are again and how to parent again and how to have the support system around them that they can really feel comfortable in that.
What has made me so happy is we have seen Step 2 grow enormously in this community from, you know, a small little house up that was taken like 5 or 10 ladies to where we are today. And this is a amazing organization. It is nationally recognized. You look at the rate how women leave this program, they stay clean and sober. And I would say a testament to Step 2, the women who leave this program come back and give.
Mm-hmm.
They are so involved with the community of Step 2. They know that they are where they are today thanks to the efforts of those who were part of this journey for them. And I just think that is so incredibly special.
Yeah, it really is. Our alumni are so special to us. And, you know, women that complete our program are very, very proud of it. And we see them coming back. We have events for them. One of them is on our staff right now. She's now our resident manager for Lighthouse. And, you know, being able to give back after they've been given to is really an important piece for these women.
Obviously, Step 2 gets support from the community. I mean, this is really an organization that has been able to grow because of that relationship with the community. So many individuals see the work that Step 2 is doing, and you're always finding great fundraisers and ways to engage the community. And January is National Soup Month, and Step 2 is inviting the community to celebrate this with a warm and wonderful week of tasty soups.
Mm-hmm.
So how does this work? I'm already in it. I'm a huge soup fan. I like them all. So let me know about this.
We have the opportunity for people to purchase soup packages that have the official soup mug, the official passport, and the official soup coins in there, and then a recipe booklet from our staff and board members, and then some other goodies from places around town. Dorinda's Chocolates has a cocoa spoon that they're putting in there, and Cherry Bomb Catering has a soup mix, and unfortunately, we are sold out of these packages, which is amazing.
Which is great. Another testament
to
the community.
It's so amazing. But we do plan to do it again next year, so we're going to be doing that, but there's a great way for people to still participate. So there's 8 locations around town, 8 establishments that are going to be providing a special soup for that week. And so we're encouraging the community to get out and visit those locations. And then they can still participate in the raffle. We have some great prizes, and they can still donate to Step 2. So we have been so supported by our community. And so these types of events are really important for us, not only because we like to do fun new things, but also because it raises awareness for our organization.
Absolutely.
And it gives us the opportunity to do a little bit to highlight some of these establishments that really support us and have been supporting us for a long time. You know, and that's really important to us. I think that all of these wonderful establishments are willing to give to us with no strings attached and no reasons. But for us, it's just such a fun way for us to celebrate what we do and to celebrate them as well.
Step 2 has these incredible partnerships, right? They work with so many different people in the community, whether it's the restaurants that are participating for Soup Week. They have people that are constantly donating to them. And that really is a testament to the community. And it's almost as if Step 2 is saying, hey, you're helping us all the time. We want to help you by inviting individuals into these businesses, have some of the soup, have that conversation. You know, I always say, you know, take someone to lunch at one of these locations. Uh-huh. And if you're already someone that supports Step 2, you know, maybe you bring this up during your lunch. Mm-hmm. Who do you support in the community? I really love to support Step 2. We're here today having soup. That is also a way for us to support mm-hmm. Step 2's efforts. So I really encourage folks, find a nonprofit, whether it's Step 2 or...
As you know, Connie, our community is so amazing. And so many of the nonprofits work together. We have so many different nonprofits that actually work with us to provide services for our women. And so when you're supporting any nonprofit within the area, you're supporting all of them. It all goes full circle, is my belief. It's a full thought for me of when we support businesses and when we support nonprofits and when we support each other, it comes back around. And we love that. We love that part of our community.
I think there's also something about you choosing soup. There's just something about soup that sends this message. It's a simple, easy meal to prepare, but it's warm, it's comforting. And I think that is really what Step 2 is. It is a warm, comforting space for women who have been lost for a very long time in their addiction mm-hmm. to find a space that they can regroup, rebuild their lives, get reconnected with their children, be the type of individual they want to be mm-hmm. to their kids, to their community, and to themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been looking for a fourth event to do in the first quarter. And, you know, we're like, what do we do? You know, and I mean, people are usually done going out. They're burnt out on galas and doing all of these things. And so we thought this is a great way. You can celebrate at home. You can cook soup at home, one of the recipes or any recipe that you come up with soup. And or you can go out in the community and really support that. You can get dine in. You can get takeout. And you know, it's a great way. Even if you're, you know, watching what you eat for January, you can still have soup. Many of the soups are vegan. You can create a very healthy soup. And, you know, that's part of what we teach our women, too, is, you know, how to create something substantial with not a lot of money. And right. That's important, too. So you can have very decadent soups and you can have soups that are just hearty and, you know, warm.
I am going to do a little shout out because I want to say thank you to all of our participating restaurants. We've got Centro South, Grafted Whiskey and Wine Bar, Grateful Gardens, and they have some of the best soups
now.
Gino's
yes.
Soup is in the stores.
Yep.
We've got Mari Chewy's, Nothing to It, Peavine Tap House, Eats and Beats, Soup and the Cheese Board. They're all involved. Each of these locations has committed to providing Reno Soup Week passports. They're holding the complimentary cup of soup during that week. And then you have a chance to come in and really just introduce yourself to that business. Say, wow, yeah. This is a great business that is giving back to the community. They mm-hmm. are part of something. And I think it's also just a testament to, once again, here we are, even at the beginning of the year when people are drained and they're tired and they're like, how do I keep going on? Mm-hmm. And we have an opportunity to do something small. Mm-hmm. And this is what it is. It's really a chance for you to get involved and to learn about a new nonprofit and to support some of these small local businesses. Yeah. Normally, January is a slow month in the restaurant business, mm-hmm. so it's nice that we can draw some people in for a really great cause. Small business is the backbone of this community, mm-hmm. so it's amazing when you see nonprofits pair up with those small businesses.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's just, you know, like I said, our community is just amazing to us, and we are excited. We're excited to see who goes out. We're excited to see how people love the soups. I've been tasting them for the last week, and they're amazing. And so, you know, it's just really fun. It's such a fun thing. And, you know, these chefs are, many of them are creating soups that they make for their families when they want to make something warm and, you know, toasty, or when they don't feel good or something like that. And so hearing those stories and really getting out and hearing that is so wonderful. So I encourage people when they go out to ask about the soup and ask why it was put on the menu and what were the choices behind it and what kind of, you know, what kind of local ingredients are in there, because most of them use local ingredients for their soups.
Now, again, we just wanted to remind you that this is an opportunity for you to give back to Step 2, and they are a comprehensive residential and outpatient treatment program. They provide women struggling to overcome substance abuse disorders, poverty, and family violence the opportunity to truly rebuild their lives. They could not do what they do without our community support. Sharia has just put together such an amazing opportunity for you to do just that. Get out for Reno Soup Week, support Step 2, and of course I invite you to visit their website at step2reno.org. You can learn more about them and learn about how this organization continues not only to provide an opportunity for women to rebuild their lives, but how they partner with our community. They really do try to find varying ways to support local business and graduates of the program. They know the importance of community and giving back. That is such a key component to what Step 2 is teaching to these women who are going through the program. And this is just another great way for you to get involved, for you to understand the work that Step 2 is doing. Sharia, thank you so much for all that you do. You come up with such amazing creative events, and I love it because you're getting people out to engage with small business while being able to support nonprofits. Sharia, if people want to find out more information, renosoupweek.com. I know that everything's sold out, but there's plenty of information on that website.
Yes, there is, and there's ways to participate even though the soup packages are sold out. So we really do want people to just have a great time during this National Soup Month.
RenoSoupWeek.com. And if you'd like to find out more information about Step 2 or make a donation, you can do so by visiting their website at step2reno.org.
You are listening to In Depth on Lotus Radio, and your nonprofit could be featured on the show. Email psa@lotusradio.com. And now back to In Depth.
Welcome back for the second half of our in-depth program. And this morning, we're going to talk about Awaken. We are joined by two individuals, one from Awaken and one from Awaken Your Dreams. And we're going to start with the co-founder of Awaken, Jen Robinson. She is also the Youth Intervention Director for Awaken. And also with her is Laura Palma Lopez, co-founder of Awaken Your Dreams. Good morning and welcome to both of you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you so much for having us.
Jen, let's start off with what many would seem is a very difficult topic, but very important to talk about, and that is sex trafficking. Tell us about what your organization, Awaken, is doing in our community.
So Awaken has been in our community for the past 11 and a half years, and we fight any form of commercial sexual exploitation and provide direct services and resources to those that are affected by it. And so, broken down simply, we work with women and girls coming out of any form of legal or illegal prostitution. We've got a drop-in center. We have an education center for teens, case management, mentors, tutors on site. We have a transitional house. So really, we will meet with a woman or girl, figure out who she is, who she wants to become, and then how can we actually help her become that. And so we provide resources. We can remove some barriers and come alongside her and champion her for the girls, the goals that she has already set for her life.
How are you meeting with these clients? I know when I was combing through your website, there's some very shocking statistics mm-hmm. that are on there. I mean, obviously, we have an interesting state. We are the state mm-hmm. of Nevada, where we have legalized prostitution. We have legal brothels. But there's a difference between legalized and sex trafficking. To see on your website some of these stats, many of these young girls are being sold into sex trafficking as young as 13 years old. Mm-hmm. What is the process of you getting these girls out of these situations?
This is a huge question, and I could go so many different ways, but I'm going to start with Nevada is currently the only state that has legalized prostitution. And because of that, as a state, I believe we are also desensitized to the issue. And so a lot of people do want to separate legal from illegal prostitution, but if you get down to the heart of it and those that are actually affected by it, I see no difference, especially in the restoration and the resources that are needed. The youngest girl I have personally worked with in our community has been 11 years old. Mm. Last year, I did an intake for a 12-year-old. We work with very young girls who eventually turn 18. But something happens in our mind the day they turn 18. We go from seeing them as a victim to seeing them as they're choosing this lifestyle. Mm. They just like sex. They, at 18, then can choose to go work in our legal area of prostitution. In a sense, traffickers also will send them to legal areas of prostitution. Why? Because if law enforcement's on them for the illegal, they can hide it under the legal. Mm. As well as, we want to say it's safer, right? And so whatever we tack to the legal area of prostitution, I would say a lot of it is just to relieve the burden and the pressure we feel to actually be responsible for it. It allows us to sit back and not actually have to get involved in the fight. And so for us at Awaken, we see it is exactly the same. It is still abuse. It's still objectifying. It's still causing bodily harm and the commodification of women that I'm not okay with as a state. How we get referrals, if that's actually the question, they come from a really wide range. I would say in the last 12 years, the main thing that we have seen is our community wake up to the issue. And so they are thankfully able to identify better. And so we are getting, for the younger girls, a ton of referrals from social services, from schools, whether that's school counselors, school police, from word of mouth is always the most successful. Because if I've already seen you make a change for your life, by the time I come into Awaken, I already believe that change is possible for me. And so that's the most successful. Also, other organizations working with this population, maybe they're in addictions, maybe they're in mental health, there's some co-occurring and some participant sharing. And so definitely referrals from others, law enforcement, and the community also making phone calls.
That is one thing that we pride ourselves on in this show and with In Depth is that so many of the nonprofits in our community partner with one another. Mm-hmm. And that's what really does make everything work together. Earlier, you heard from Step Two, which you work with Step Two as well. Mm-hmm. There is so much connection between our nonprofits. Which, for example, if you had someone that came to you that was being sex trafficked and now they are out of this situation, but they're dealing with addiction issues, mm-hmm. you have the resources that you can send them to so that they can get the help that they need. For a long time, I was said to people, well, gosh, they just started a few years ago. And why did they need to be here? And then when you start to really look, legalize prostitution, if you're a young child that's brought into this, you don't know that this behavior is not acceptable or that this you can get out of this lifestyle if you've been deeply traumatized, flip it to their, it's fine, they're legal, they can do this, it's by choice. And also a misunderstanding that this is not a life that you need to lead. Are we becoming a state that is starting to recognize these things? Do you hope to change the laws here in the state of Nevada?
We've believed from the very beginning that Reno and Northern Nevada in general can be the safest place in the world for these women, that we know that traffickers move girls and women as well from place to place, boys as well. I would love to be the state that they would hear that they are coming to and they think that's amazing because I hear that there's help here. I hear their community cares. And so city transformation is one of our main goals at Awaken. We've seen a ton of change over the last decade here. There is still a lot more work to be done because at this point, we have heard traffickers say that Nevada does half the work for them because our laws are so minimal. We didn't even have sex trafficking defined in our state until 2013. It wasn't until 2017 that I remember seeing sex trafficking of a minor as a charge for the first time. We are far behind in some of those things, and it is a legislative year, and so I know there's going to be a number of bills put forward. And so I would just recommend getting educated and involved in that process as well, because as community members, you do have a voice. And I think it's easy to think that it's too scary or that it won't affect you, but we know how strategic traffickers are, that they can take any vulnerability, and every one of us has vulnerability. That is why the young girls are the target, is because young girls specifically have maybe more vulnerabilities, whether that is financial or relational. And so traffickers know how to find those and actually fulfill those needs. And so it doesn't matter if it is low income or divorced parents, because we all have need. And so as a community, it is our problem. And so hopefully it will take all of us coming together to do our part and to, one, just love each other well. If we could have eyes to see each other as human, regardless of your race, your sex, your income level, I believe that is one of the number one ways we can actually fight this.
The joy of your job is getting these individuals out of this environment, and you couldn't do the work that you do without so many of your wonderful community partners. We find ways to make what many see as impossible possible, and this is why I'm excited to introduce to you again Laura Palma Lopez. How did you get involved with Awaken here in Northern Nevada?
Well, I started getting involved with missing and exploited children, just donating and stuff. And then I started hearing more and more about exploited children and sex trafficking. So I looked to see what we had in Reno, and I found Awaken. And I was trying to go to their banquet. A friend of mine knew what I was doing and happened to get two tickets. And they had a lady that was talking from Vegas. And then they had three local girls talking from Reno. One of them, they got her from high school. The stories that they said just break your heart. They were just trying to change their life. And all these girls went through Awaken's program. They all went through Awaken's program. So when they were done saying their story, I can't remember if it was you or Melissa that were talking to them, ask them, what is the next thing? What's your goal? What's the next thing that you want to do? And two out of three said, I would like to own my own home. And I looked at my friend and I thought, I can help him with that. I can help them. I have a really good realtor. I have a really good mortgage person. I can help them with that. So I talked to my friend, Lori Jim Realty, and I talked to her about it. She says, yes, I'm in. Let's do it. I talked to Lena Boland with United Wholesale Mortgage. She's like, yeah, let's do it. And then I got in touch with Awaken and actually talked to Jen. I told her what we wanted to do, and they were on board with it. So it was great. It all started that way.
Jen, why do you think that is what they want? Stability is what first comes to my mind.
Absolutely. Stability. It is something that is theirs, that nobody can take from them. And so it is a very transient lifestyle. And to actually have a home that is where you belong, that is where you can establish roots, raise your family, it's an incredible dream to have. And I absolutely love that it stemmed from the banquet, from the needs of people we are currently working and know and love, and to see the community rise up and say, I can meet that need. It will take all of us doing our part. I think people get scared even to volunteer because it seems overwhelming, or what could I do? But Laura, being a community member, to hear their stories and say, oh, I can do that, and to not just say it, but actually put action behind it, it's incredible.
Laura, I know that what you're doing is really helping these individuals make that down payment on their home so that they can get into that home. And obviously, you need donors, you need individuals to support the program to make this work. And
Correct. You've
got incredible partners. Kaya Fit has got an incredible opportunity for you to be a part of making this dream come true. Awaken your dream. And this is a kind of like a CrossFit fundraising opportunity. Tell us about this.
Okay, so Elena Boland, who is also with Wholesale Mortgage, happens to be an instructor at Kaya. So she does yoga, she does CrossFit, she does everything. We already had a fundraiser. She did bar, which was great. It got me.
Great.
So we're going to do cross training. I'm going to try to do that, but she's going to go ahead and have it, and she's going to be the instructor for it. It's donation based. So we asked for at least $20, but we had a lot more donations the last time than just the $20. So we really appreciate that. So anybody that could come on out, it'll be next Saturday on January 21st from 9:30 to 10:30. And just come on out, get a good workout, donate, help out, share, and anything else that you could do would be wonderful. people.
And where is the location again?
It is at 75 East Patriot Boulevard, Suite Number 6. And when I first went, I had a little hard time, just so they know. It's a shopping center, but it's in the back of the shopping center. So it's a little bit hard when you just do the GPS on that.
I think what I like about this promotion, obviously, to make these dreams come true, but fitness, wellness, being healthy, I think this is a key component for these women who are coming through your program, Jen. That's a big part of healing. Is that correct?
Body, mind, spirit, and soul. It is holistic healing. So actually getting in touch and being able to feel and move with your body is incredible for women and girls that so often have disassociated from their bodies. Mm-hmm. Learning to be present with their bodies is really important. And I love that it falls within January, which is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. And so there's a number of, if you want more information, we have a parents' night coming up on January 17th at our center from 6 to 7:30. Come learn what every parent needs to know about trafficking in our community. If you want to volunteer, January 24th also at our center, we're going to do another informational night about what does trafficking look like in our community and how can you get involved. And then absolutely come on the 21st to exercise, laugh, and enjoy each other while we actually raise funds to help a survivor get into her first home.
This is so exciting. Number one, I just believe in empowering women, and I think this is a real opportunity to do this, especially women who have been abused and mistreated. And this is an opportunity for our community to say, we're going to wrap our arms around you and help you understand the value that you bring to the community. So I'm very, very excited about this. And, you know, you mentioned something, Jen. I mean, just I know that there's going to be parents that are listening to this thinking, you know, are there warning signs? Is there something that I should be looking for? As I mentioned when we started the program, just to see some of the statistics on your website and to know that these are children. They're young, as you mentioned, 11, 12, 13 years old. Are there things that parents can be looking for? Are there warning signs?
There's a lot of warning signs. And if you would like to know more, absolutely come on the 17th next Tuesday to the event that we're hosting. But as a parent, nobody knows your child better than you. And so my advice would be not to fear the hard conversations, to have conversations, including who are their friends? How are they using social media? Who are they allowing to contact them on social media, at the schools? Like, where are they hanging out? How do they even feel about the commercial sex industry as a whole? Because we've become very desensitized to it just because of the music, the media, movies, everything is hypersexualized right now.
Absolutely. Sex sells, right? How long have we heard that?
Yeah. So are we engaging in those hard conversations with our kids? And as parents, like, that's your number one job, is to keep your kids safe. And I think sometimes you think your child might be too young. But if we know that the average age that young girls are entering into the sex trade is actually around 14 years old, and we see their abuse starting way before that, you know, the average age of first exposure of pornography, I think, is between 9 and 11 years old. And so we've got to start these conversations earlier than the media or social media getting their attention.
Both of your banquets, one thing that they did say at both occasions was, if somebody would have just asked more questions, mm-hmm. and got a little bit deeper, that maybe they could have expressed themselves better. Mm-hmm. You know, that if they were just asked more questions and somebody got a little bit more involved, just a little bit more, like at schools, mm-hmm. or if they got in trouble with the truancy officers, whatever it was, or the parents, you know, or something like that, that maybe they could have reached out and asked for help.
Again, the website is awakenreno.org. It truly is just a plethora of information. And if you have questions, you want to get involved, maybe you're really not aware of human trafficking and what is going on in Nevada. I think it's so imperative that we do have these open conversations. And if you have a parent that is dealing with drugs and alcohol or not well themselves, mm-hmm. the likelihood of that parent exposing their child to things, you're putting them more and more at risk. And if you're a parent that might be seeing this from your kids' friends, it's also an opportunity for you to speak up. And coming to these events that you hold is an opportunity for you to become more educated. And I always believe, you know, knowledge is power. The more that you know, the more you'll be able to help in those situations. going back to you, Laura, I just think that what you have done is so incredibly amazing. I mean, have you handed keys to someone yet? And what is that going to be like for you?
We're still brand new. So we're trying to raise the money. So right now we're trying to get $15,000 to $20,000 to cover the down payment. The closing costs are covered. We did do that. We did get the appraisal, the inspection, all that is donated. So all we need is the money for the down payment. So we're basing it off of a high 5% interest rate on a $400,000 home. I mean, the Awaken person who is the participant that will get it will have to graduate from the Awaken program.
Perfect.
And they'll have to be able to, you know, do the funds just like everybody else can qualify, but we want to help them with all the monetary funds that they need in order to go ahead and get that. But my goal is that they come home.
And again, the website is awakenreno.org. We've been talking with Jen Robinson. She is the co-founder of Awaken and the youth intervention director. Laura Palma Lopez is the co-founder of Awaken Your Dreams. And we are so excited. Again, January 21st, we will see you out at Kaya Fist, 9:30 to 10:30. And again, $20 donation. But like you said, Laura, I think people are going to be throwing down a lot more cash than that.
I hope so. And, you know, we are a community partner with Awaken. So if anybody wants to donate, it would be through Awaken. And when you donate, there's a little section that says honor our memo. And all you got to do is put Awaken Your Dream in there, our AYD for Awaken Your Dream, and then those funds will come to us.
Thank you for listening to In Depth. To have your nonprofit featured, please email psa@lotusradio.com and tune in next Sunday morning.